It's a precious gift. Some of us are blessed to be born with 20/20 vision. I used to have 20/20 vision, perfect vision. I never needed glasses. Can we show, this is what I looked like 10 years ago. Exactly 10 years ago, I never wore glasses. However, over the past decade, my eyesight has weakened. So these days, if I don't wear my glasses, I cannot see my notes. I cannot see my notes. And honestly, I would not be surprised if one day, even with glasses, I still would not be able to see clearly. And that's what my father is going through right now. Some of you know that he's also a pastor. However, his eyesight has deteriorated so much that he rarely speaks on the pulpit anymore. Why? Because when he gets up here, he cannot see his notes. He cannot see. Eyesight. That's my dad. So eyesight is a precious gift. So today we're going to look at a story in John chapter 9 where Jesus, he heals a man born blind. And Jesus gave him the gift of eyesight. But here's the thing. Here's the story. The story here is not just about physical eyesight. There's a story behind the story, because the real miracle here is not that the man, the blind man, was able to see physically, but spiritually. And I entitled today's message, Spiritual Eyesight. My prayer for all of us is that even our physical eyesight will get worse and worse each day. May God grant us the gift of spiritual eyesight, that we are able to see what God wants us to see. Amen? That's the message for today. So with that in mind, let's read today's passage from John chapter 9, verses 1 to 7, and then 35 to 41. We're going to read the first portion in English, and then the second portion in Mandarin Chinese. All right, can you stand with me? Let's all read together. Verse 1. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. 耶稣听说他们把他赶出去，后来遇见他，就说：“你信神的儿子吗？”他问说：“主啊，谁是神的儿子？叫我信他呢？”耶稣说：“你已经看见他，现在和你说话的就是他。”他说：“主啊，我信，就拜耶稣。”耶稣说：“ 我为审判到这世上来，叫不能看见的可以看见，能看见的反瞎眼了。”同他在那里的法利赛人听见这话，就说：“难道我们也瞎了眼吗？”耶稣对他们说：“你们若瞎了眼，就没有罪了。但如今你们说， 我们能看见，所以你们的罪还在。May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. I want to share with you four lessons why spiritual eyesight is so important. Four reasons why it makes a difference in our lives. The first point is this. Spiritual eyesight helps us see trials as opportunities to glorify God. Trials as opportunities to display God's work. John chapter 9, verse 3. It says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life." We live in a fallen and broken world because of sin. Suffering is part of our everyday life. One of the most asked questions about Christianity is this one: why would a good God allow bad things to happen? Why would a good God allow bad things to happen? It's a sincere question on the topic of suffering. All of us face sufferings of various kinds. Now, we may not have all the answers for suffering of the world, but we do know that God wants us, His people, to see trials, suffering from His perspective. He wants us to see the bad things, the painful things, the difficult things that we encounter in our lives. Somehow, God is able to work through those difficult things and make something good out of it. He can ultimately be glorified by the sufferings that we face. When the disciples saw this blind man, all they saw was tragedy. All they saw was hopelessness. All they saw was misfortune. But Jesus saw it differently. Jesus said, there's something that God can do here that can bring glory to God. All over the Bible, the biblical writers, they suffered much. And they urged us to look at suffering from a different perspective. Look at these verses. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Why? Knowing that suffering produces endurance. 1 Peter 4, 13 says, "Be glad for the chance to suffer as Christ suffered. It will prepare you for even greater happiness when He makes His glorious return." And remember Joseph, the words of Joseph, a righteous man who was betrayed by his brothers, falsely accused, falsely imprisoned. And this was what he said to those who harmed him. Genesis 50, verse 20. He said, "You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good." He says, "I'm not bitter. I'm not resentful because I know that God is in control and that even though you meant it for evil, God will use it for good." Now, how are these people able to look at things from a different perspective? Because they were people with spiritual eyesight. They were able to see that ultimately God is more powerful than their trials, than their problems, and that God is able to use whatever they're going through to bring glory to Himself. We live in a broken world and we all face trials, but we have a choice. We can either wallow up in self-pity, sorrow, despair, or we can trust God. We can see that our God is greater than our problems and that our trials are opportunities to let God do His work, to display His glory. Let me use Charlie Kirk as an example. Charlie Kirk was a genuine and strong believer in Jesus Christ. Whether he was speaking on college campuses or engaging in public dialogues. He consistently shared the good news of Jesus Christ. He courageously shared the gospel. His passion for young people and his heart for truth, the truth of God, was evident in every conversation. But as you know, Charlie Kirk, he was tragically assassinated recently during one of his visits to the campuses. And his death shocked the entire nation. And his death left a void in the hearts of many, many people, especially many young people who were looking up to Charlie Kirk because they looked up to him. And yet, even in the midst of tragedy, I want to assure you that God is working, that his redemptive hand is working even through this tragedy. At Charlie Kirk's memorial service, he says, more than 90,000 people filled State Farm Stadium in Glendale, Arizona. Thousands more tried to get in, but they just could not get in. There was just no more seats. It became one of the largest memorials ever held for a private citizen. Not to mention the millions of viewers that viewed the YouTube link. His service was not just a tribute to Charlie Kirk, but it was a testimony. It was a testimony of the hope, the forgiveness, the love that can only be found in Jesus Christ. During the service, his widow, Erica, stood beside his casket and she declared, I forgive the killer. I forgive him because that's what Christ would do. That's what Jesus would do. And her words embody the love and the forgiveness of Jesus Christ for everyone. Christians, non-Christians alike, witness a memorial not marked by bitterness, not by tragedy, but by grace and by victory and hope in Jesus Christ. You see, through Charlie's death, though it was a senseless tragedy, God is stirring hearts across the nation. God is awakening faith. God is drawing people to himself even as we speak. And only heaven knows what God will continue to do through Charlie Kirk's unfortunate death. My friends, what challenge are you facing right now? What difficulties are you encountering in your life? Remember the words of Jesus. This happened so that the work of God can be displayed. Spiritual eyesight helps us see trials as opportunities to glorify God. Let's look at the second point. Spiritual eyesight helps us see people in need as opportunities to show love. Verse 2, his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Verse 6, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Now, can you see just what's happening here? Here was a man born blind. At that time, if you had a physical handicap like that, you are doomed all your life. There's no future for you. There's no hope for you. Your life will be sitting down there on the side of the road, begging all your life. And when the disciples came by, not only did they show compassion, they said to each other, all right, guys, let's take a vote. Who sinned? Let's have a case study here. Who sinned? He sinned or his parents sinned? By the way, how can a person sin if he's born blind, right? So this poor man, right? he was blind, but he's not deaf. He could hear everything that the disciples, and they were talking about him. See, the disciples saw this man as merely a case study, a topic of discussion, a theological debate. But Jesus saw something else, right? He saw this man's needs, and he ministered to him. He met his needs. Verse 6, again, he spit on the ground, made some mud with saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Now, commentaries point out that the phrase, to put something on, to put on, is another word for to make contact. To make contact. And it means that Jesus, he was in no hurry to pass by this man. He took his time and he showed him compassion. And instead of saying, oh, okay, go, you are healed, Jesus took the time and he made contact. He made contact with this blind man. Let's admit it, as we walk through the journey of life, there are many blind men in our path. There are many blind men. When we run into problem people, needy people, isn't it much easier to distance ourselves from those people, right? To not get involved, but just to talk about them, label them, analyze them. But it's so much harder to enter into their world and to feel their pain and to experience what they experience and to get involved and to get dirty, to spend time and the effort to love on them. Are there any blind men, any blind people in your life, at your work, at your school, in your home, at your church? I am sure there are. There are needy people in our lives. May God help us to navigate how to be his hands and his feet to minister to these people. Spiritual eyesight help us to view needy people as opportunities to show love. Number 3, spiritual eyesight helps us see God's commands as opportunities to demonstrate faith. John chapter 9, verse 7, go, he told him, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. So Jesus gave this blind man an order, an unreasonable demand. Why? Because the commentaries tell us the pool of Siloam is half a mile away. Half a mile away. Now, can you picture this poor guy? He's not only blind, but now he's got mud on his face, right? He's got mud on his face. Now, I can picture him having to walk through town, bumping into people on the way to the pool of Siloam with mud on his face. And people looking at him, laughing at him. Look at this blind guy. He's got mud on his face. Hey, buddy, maybe you should wipe that mud on your face. Maybe you can see better, eh? People laughing at him, teasing him, mocking him. Jesus could have healed the man on the spot with one word, but he chose not to. Jesus said, go and wash. Now, if I was this blind man, I said, Jesus, what are you doing? Jesus, why would you tell me to do that? I don't understand. Jesus, why can't you just heal me right now? What is the point of me walking all the way to the pool of Siloam? It does not make sense. But you know why Jesus did that? Because he wanted the blind man to exercise his faith. He wanted the blind man to step out in faith. And as he took those steps of faith, Jesus healed him. And here the verse says, he came home seeing. He came home seeing, implying that as he was still walking, as he was walking, as he was taking steps of faith, as he was carrying out God's command in his life, he became healed. The healing process is often a long journey, little by little. It's a long process. It's never immediate. Yes, sometimes God heals us right away, but most of the time, it's a long journey. Today, you may be like this blind man. You're walking with mud on your face. But you know what Jesus wants to say to you? Keep going. Keep walking. Keep stepping out in faith. Because you may not know it, but healing is taking place in your life. Spiritual eyesight helps us to treat God's commands as an opportunity for us to show our faith. Lastly, number four. Spiritual eyesight helps us see Jesus for who he is. This is really the main point of this passage. All the miracles in the book of John are called signs. Signs, why? Because signs point us to something. And here, these signs point us to Jesus, that he is the Christ. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And so he proved it. He proved it by healing a man born blind. He gave light to a man who had only known darkness. He proved that he was who he said he was. He was the light of the world. He's their Messiah. He is the King of the Jews. But what did the Jewish people, how did they respond? The religious leaders, when they saw the healing of Jesus Christ taking place, how did they respond to this great miracle? Did they bow down? Did they worship Jesus and said, oh, you are the one that we have been looking for? No, that's not what happened. Verse 16. They start questioning. They said, wait, did he just heal? Did he just do that on Sabbath? How dare anyone heal on a blind man on Sabbath? He's not supposed to do that. And that's the sad irony of today's story, is that if there was anyone who could see Jesus, it should be them. It should be them because they were so familiar with the scriptures. They were so familiar with the prophecies about Jesus. They went to church, synagogue, all their lives. But they were blind. They were blind. They were so close to Jesus physically. He was right there in front of them. He was their Savior, but they did not see him. They missed him. Some of you have heard of this name, Karl Barth. Karl Barth was a very famous theologian in Germany. One day he was taking the bus to the university where he taught. Sitting next to Karl Barth was a tourist. So he asked the tourist, so tell me, what is one thing that you would like to accomplish during your trip here? Tell me, what do you want to see while you're here? The tourist replied, oh, this is going to sound crazy, but I would love to meet the great theologian Karl Barth himself. I would love to meet him. Karl Barth when he heard that, he kind of just smiled. The Torah said, why? Do you know him? I mean, do you know Karl Barth? Karl Barth replied, yes, believe it or not, I comb his hair and I shave his face every day. Upon hearing that, the tourist reached out his hand, grabbed Karl Barth's hands, and he said, what an honor to meet Karl Barth's barber. Wasn't that exactly what happened to the religious leaders, right? They were so close to Jesus. Jesus standing right in front of them. But they missed him. They did not see Jesus. Well, how about us then? How is our spiritual eyesight? Do we see Jesus? Do we see Jesus in all the things that we're doing? We come to church. We read the Bible. We sing praise songs. We have fellowship. We study the Bible. Do we see Jesus? Do we see Jesus? Don't be surprised. He's right there. He's closer than we think. So this poor man, under intense pressure from the religious authorities around him, they kept pressing him. And this is what he said. He said the most honest, genuine, beautiful statement. He said this, I don't know. But all I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. I was blind, but now I see. And that's such a beautiful statement, because that statement was more than just physical, but it was spiritual. I was blind, but now I see. Because he had received a physical, a miracle that was more than just temporary, but eternal. He has salvation. In the same way, you and I, those of us who are in Jesus Christ, we too have experienced the most powerful miracle in our lives, in this whole world, that we could see spiritually, that we can see Jesus. Now, all of us know that song, Amazing Grace, right? Amazing Grace. Let me read the words to you. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. That's our song. A song for believers in Jesus Christ, because we have experienced the most amazing grace. And may that reality compel us to be bold, to be courageous in our faith, and may those words echo through our everyday life. Hey, I may not have all the answers, but one thing I know, I was blind, but now I see. I know Jesus Christ. He is real in my life. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for this story. We thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ is so available to us. We thank you that Jesus Christ died for us on the cross for our sins. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. We thank you that Jesus Christ is our Savior. Lord, help us not to be shy about our experience, not to be shy and ashamed of the gospel. Help us not just be hearers of the gospel, but help us to be doers of the gospel. Help us to live out the gospel. Help us to point people to Jesus. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.